Hello, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2020. I am so happy to begin this year with you in meditation practice. We're going to practice together today for 10 minutes, as we normally do. However, we're going to start a year-long theme in our meditations beginning today. And that theme is what is called Lojong practice. Lo means intelligence or your ability to perceive, the native wakefulness, one could say, of your own mind. And Jong means training or processing. So it's a practice of training the mind. It's called mind training. Also sometimes called slogan practice, because the way we train our minds is through the use of slogans, which I know may sound a little bit odd, like isn't a slogan like go team go, or a motto, something that gradually loses meaning over time the more you say it? Maybe, but that is not the spirit with which we are approaching these slogans. There are 59 slogans in Lojong practice. They are divided into 7 groups. And one way of describing why we do slogan practice or what the use is of slogan practice is that it is a post-meditation practice. So what we're going to do here momentarily is meditation practice. And that is the foundation for training the mind. That creates a sense of spaciousness and precision and skillfulness in working with what's going on up here, because it can seem quite chaotic, quite sad, quite stimulating. And we may feel like, well, I have no say over what goes on up here. However, through meditation practice, of course, you learn that you do. And you can work with your moods, your emotions, your thoughts on good days. And you, generally speaking, you soften toward yourself. You loosen the tight grip that most of us have on our own minds of that was a good thought, that was a bad thought, or you don't deserve this, or if only you were as good as that. That's normally, well, at least personally speaking, quite often what my mind is doing. But through meditation practice, we come to see that those are simply thoughts that come and go, just like little cats. And that no thought lasts forever. No thought is actually solid or real, right? And this recognition, don't ask me why, creates a kind of open-heartedness, a increased ability to feel and be touched by the circumstances of your life. This is called the Open Heart Project for a reason, because one of the main consequences of meditation practice is this opens. Perhaps you've noticed that. As you meditate, you feel more. You become more sensitive. You notice things that might have escaped your attention, so you become more attuned. And that can feel frightening because it's crazy out there, y'all. And so, okay, yay, Susan, some Buddhist lady said it's good to have an open heart, but now I have to go out into the world where there is tremendous pain and chaos and confusion, and I encounter anger and despair and sorrow and fear and excitement, and of course, you're a human. Me too, I encounter those things too. Well, what is our practice for those things? This is our practice here. Well, what about out there? I can't just say, okay, everybody, zip it. I'm going to sit down and follow my breath for 10 minutes until you all calm down. Actually, we need something that is more functional in real time. We need a post-meditation practice that is equally as meditative, meaning brings mindfulness and awareness to our lives, not just our breath as we do in meditation, but to our lives when we get up off the cushion. Slogan practice is a custom made for post-meditation. And we train our minds by contemplating 59 slogans. We're not going to contemplate all 59 today, just one. And then see what happens is the basic instruction, the best instruction I think that I can give you. So each week we're going to contemplate a different slogan. Some weeks we'll contemplate two because I want to get all 59 of them into 52 weeks of the year. And today we begin at the beginning, which is appropriate for the start of a new year, the start of a new decade. First, train in the preliminaries, which is the first slogan. It seems entirely logical. Before you start anything, you want to become familiar with the preliminaries. How do I get in? Where am I going? What does this world look like? I'm going to start a new year, a new decade, a new project, a new conversation. What are the preliminary steps that I could take to enter the decade or the conversation or whatever it may be skillfully? Well, in the classical Buddhist view, the preliminaries refer to what is called the four reminders. Four things that we always want to remember, and that when we do, we have right view, or we are in reality. It's a different way of saying that. And when we forget the four reminders, we stop reminding ourselves of the reminders, then we dissolve into fantasy, unreality. And so the possibility that our actions will be skillful diminishes. Now, before I tell you what the four reminders are, I just want to confess to you something. I hate the four reminders. The four reminders make me feel so scared and sad and what? How can these things be? I don't want to remind myself of these things. However, when I do, basically my life changes, and however they are, intense. Because life is intense, and we're not playing at this life. We want it to mean something. We want to go deep. You wouldn't be practicing meditation. You wouldn't be practicing meditation with me if this wasn't so. We want to accomplish something for the good of ourselves and our world. We want to complete our mission. That's how I think of it. I feel like I have a mission, you have a mission. That's just my language for it. And when my time comes, I want to feel I completed that mission. So to complete the mission, I need to be in reality and not floating off into a fantasy. So the four reminders bring you right down to earth and help you see very clearly and sharply what is going on. If you want to see clearly and sharply, come on in. If you're like, well, I don't know if I'm ready to see clearly and sharply, I get it. Hold off, because these four reminders are four reminders. Four reminders are, life is precious. I mean, just the other day I was talking with some friends about how unbelievably fortunate it is that any of us are actually here, period, literally, because when you think of your parents and your grandparents and their parents and parents and parents and parents and so on, if anyone back to the beginning of time in your line had fallen off a cliff or gotten ill or not met the person that they ended up having a child with, or, you know, if they met the person they ended up having a child with because they happened to be walking down the same street, you're here, and so therefore you're here. If one of them had gone into a store, they wouldn't be here. So there's, if anybody had died, I mean, it's unbelievable when you start to think of it, that it's actually a miracle. It's a miracle that you're here. And it's a miracle that anybody's here. Life is precious. It is the sum total of an extraordinary line of human beings and coincidence and meals and genes, and it's a miracle. You are here exactly as you are. One in a billion or more. So that's the first reminder. This is a precious situation that we're in. No matter how depressed you may be, or bored you may be, or whatever, frustrated, it's still, it's a very precious situation that we have. That's reminder number one. Reminder number two is we're all going to die. Death is real and comes without warning. So in other words, you're not like, oh, well, in 6 months, 2 weeks, and 17 days, so-and-so is going to exit. It doesn't work that way. It happens. And it's gone. So there's nobody who is going to escape this one. We're all going to die. Number three, actions have consequences. Karma is real. Whatever you do has a result. Any thought you think, any word you say, any action you take sets something in motion. I'm not saying this to freak you out, like, oh, I better only think the right thoughts, otherwise something horrible will happen. I don't think it works that way. What is important, however, is to know that what you do, say, think, and so on, has a consequence. So it's important to be careful, to be awake, and pay attention. And the fourth reminder is, life is intense and involves suffering. Ain't no way around that. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how beautiful you are, how walled off you are from danger. This life is a situation that involves suffering, and there is no escape. Now you see why I hate the four reminders. Thanks a lot, four reminders. What is the use of these four reminders besides you go, oh shit? Well, that is part of the use, actually. You go, oh my God, I better get serious. That's one of the uses. So a simpler way of illustrating the use, and by the way, this talk is way long. The subsequent talks will not be this long, but I want to explain slogan practice as part of this talk. I would like to ask you, and I will do the same, to think of a situation in your life right now that is really, really bothering you. It could be something big, like the planet's melting. That's a big one. It could be something more everyday, like I have to go and have this conversation today with someone who I don't like, and I'm not interested in having the conversation, but I have to for whatever reason. I would suggest you start with something more everyday like that, as opposed to the planet's melting. But find something in your life that is causing you agitation right now. I guess for me, I'll come up with, this is my favorite. What if we don't have enough money when to support ourselves? Okay, that's real. That's a real question that people have to ask themselves. Because of the way I was brought up and my heritage and the world, it's just a worry that I wake up with from time to time. So I'm going to use that one, but you pick your own. Could be I have to have this hard conversation, or I struggle with depression. I don't know if that is ever going to change. I'm in a relationship. I don't know whether to stay or go. These are all very reasonable things to be concerned about. Now, look at how you feel when you think about that. So when I think about, oh, what if we run out of money? I start to get very uptight, and my mind goes, oh, you better work harder. You should do this instead of that. And this is, don't buy that. Or you need to replace that, but you don't have to wait. In other words, all these anxious thoughts, some of which are very practical and useful, come up. But what I notice is that my heart and my mind tighten. It doesn't feel useful. Okay, now let's take a pause, each of us, with our situation. Let's contemplate for a moment the four reminders. This is a precious situation. No matter how much I have or don't have, it's kind of a miracle that you're here. And it's kind of a miracle that I'm here too. Something big is a foot. It's astonishing. And it's not going to last. We're going to die. Someday I will not exist. You will not exist. Just weigh that in your mind for a moment. Poof. The things that I do have consequence. So if I want to set up a fortunate situation for myself and for others, because that's actually quite key, then I need to examine myself, not what if I run out of money someday and I'm there, but today, right now, what can I do? What can I think? Not to be productive and make sure I don't run out of money necessarily, but to turn my mind into a more spacious, relaxed, and receptive space. How can I stop torturing myself is always a good one. Because the actions that I take have consequences. The thoughts that I think set something in motion. Now, I'm in no way saying if I think happy thoughts, I'll be happy. Because I think that's bullshit. I'm sorry to break it to you. It's more like, I don't know how things are going to turn out. But if I keep placing things on the positive side of the balance, loving thoughts, true thoughts, brave thoughts, strong actions, compassionate actions, put more and more on this side of the scale and less on this side, which is, oh my God, what about me? And I like this, I don't like that. This is never going to work out. This is always going to be hard for me. The more I can put on this side and the less on this side, the more likely it is that I'm setting up a karmic chain of events that I'm going to be pleased with. That will be pleasing, whether I'm pleased with it or not. And then finally, suffering is not optional. There's no way I'm ever going to perfect my life or my situation. Ditto, my friend. So now think about your worry. I might run out of money someday. It feels different. I feel more grounded, like in reality. And I'm not to say that I'm never going to worry, have this worry again, but I feel empowered when I marry my worry to the four reminders, and I feel disempowered when I take my worry and forget the four reminders. There's a sense of perspective and scale that comes into play with the four reminders that cannot be duplicated. First, train in the preliminaries. That is slogan number one. And there'll be some other things in this email and this post that will help you contemplate the first slogan and a little more detail on slogan practice in general. But for now, let's meditate. Okay, are you going to sit here? Are you going to try to jump in the frame? Yes, you're a good cat. The preliminary is you are a good cat. Okay, let's sit. It'd be good if you sat too. For our meditation practice today, first we will train in the preliminaries. We will start at the beginning. And meditation practice begins with the way you take your seat. Very good. And the basic idea is to sit up straight with a sense of dignity and rootedness. Like, I'm here. If someone, you know, if a strong wind blows, I'm not going to get knocked off this seat. Even if someone pushes me, I'm going to come back to balance. I can feel it in my body. Your legs are crossed loosely in front of you. If you're on the floor, or your feet are flat on the floor if you're in a chair. And let your hands rest on your legs or on your cat, palms down. And land. And remember, this is the ultimate preliminary of meditation. We're not trying to get anywhere. We're trying to be somewhere, right here. Let the front body be soft, the belly, the area around the heart, the throat. And let the shoulders relax. And notice what it feels like to soften. Not trying to get anywhere. So I can relax. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. And the mouth is closed. But the lips and teeth are slightly parted. And relax all the muscles of speech. You don't need them right now. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose. You already know how to breathe. So just keep doing it, please. You too. And the eyes are open. And the gaze is cast down to a spot in front. Up to 6 feet or 1.5 or 2 meters, depending on the distance of your screen. And let the eyes be soft. And let there be a sense that vision is not laser pointing at anything in space. Rather, it's mixing with space. Like, what is the difference between your seeing and what is seen? They meet. And the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Now let your attention rest on the breath, which does not mean to observe the breath, it means to feel the breath. Your body is meditating. Feel the inhale. Feel the exhale. Something about this breath is connected to the first reminder, the preciousness of human birth. Is predicated on this inhale and this exhale. At the same time, you're just sitting there breathing, so it's not a big deal. Just let your attention rest on the breath. Your mind will continue to make thoughts. That's awesome. Just like your eyes continue to see, your ears continue to hear. We don't try to change that or turn those things off. It's kind of impossible. Rather, let your thoughts be as they are. Most of them will not disturb your meditation. They'll just come and go on their own. That's fine. You don't have to do anything. Only when you notice you become absorbed in thought to the point that you've been taken away from your meditation. You've forgotten about your breath. You've drifted off. Excellent. Good awareness. Notice that. Say to yourself silently, thinking. I recognize that. That's thinking. Not meditating. Let that thought go. It doesn't matter what it is. Gently come back to the breath. And have a sense of new beginning. Return to the preliminaries. Body, breath, mind, all united in meditation. So we will sit together. Thank you so much for your meditation practice. Thank you so much for practicing with me. It means a lot to me. And thank you for practicing together as a Sangha. That means a lot to me too.